probably one of the most major motifs of Rosh Hashanah is the day of Yom Teruah, the day of the shofar blowing. There are a number of questions that we need to ask, and the first and foremost one that I think is on all of our minds is what should we be thinking about during Tkiyah Shofar? Obviously, how well the Baal Tokeh is doing should not be in our agenda. What should we be thinking? What should be going through our minds during time of Tkiyah Shofar? Second, we know that when we take a look at the end of the Zichronos part of the Shemoneh Esrei, which is Source 2, we have very much the theme of God remembering the Akedah. And the end of the blessing says this clearly, "For it is you who eternally remembers all forgotten things. There's no forgetfulness before your throne of glory. And may you mercifully remember today the Akedah of Isaac for the sake of his offspring." And we read the Akedah on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. Why is Akedah Yitzchak such a major motif? And this begs us to be able to understand the Medrash, the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, who says, Rabbi Avahu said, "Why do we blow a ram's horn?" Said a Kaddish Baruch Hu, "Blow before me a ram's horn, so I remember the Akedah, the binding of Yitzchak, son of Abraham, and I will reckon it as if you had bound yourselves before me." The shofar arouses the merit of Akedah Yitzchak. We need to understand the relationship between shofar and the Akedah and the binding of Isaac. Further, in the shofar section itself, right, the three major sections of the Musaf or Malchios, God's kingship, Zichronos, God's remembrance, and shofaros, the blowing of the shofar, the major motif, we've spoken about this in the past, of shofaros is Atani Gleita, you're revealed in your cloud of glory to your holy people to speak with them, and this is the idea of Mamad Har Sinai. And the psukim that we use at the beginning of, from the Torah, from the shofar section, are all connected to Mamad Har Sinai. And the question we need to ask also is that not only is shofar very much connected to the Akedah, to the binding of Isaac, shofar is also very much connected to Har Sinai. Now, obviously, it's more than just technical, right, that a ram's horn and a ram was offered instead of Yitzchak, and that a shofar was blown in Mamad Har Sinai. We have to find the themes that connect these occasions with the shofar, and more importantly, what we should be thinking about when we say these sections in our davening, what we should be thinking about in blowing of the shofar. Further, it behooves us, and this is a general question, to understand what the day of Rosh Hashanah is all about. Why was the day of Rosh Hashanah chosen to be the day of judgment? And if indeed it is the day of judgment, and we know it's part of the Aseret Yemei Teshuva, the 10 days of repentance, so then how come we don't have repentance going on in the way we have on Yom Kippur, the Ashamnu, the Al-Chay? If one would really think through this, one would say, you know what, shofaros, we'll see in a moment, we know, is supposed to arouse a person, Uru Yesheni Mishnatchem, wake up, you slumberers, from your sleep. So would I not think it would be such a perfect time to blow shofar, and then instead of going on with a regular davening, we go immediately into Vidui, into the confession. Ashamnu, Bagadnu, Achay, wow, I've been aroused, and boom, I'm confessing. We are aroused, and we're going to davening, which is fine. I mean, davening is also important. But if Rosh Hashanah is part of the Aseret Yemei Teshuva, where is Teshuva of Rosh Hashanah? How do we characterize the day? What is going on here? Now, obviously, and this is a disclaimer we say all the time, there is so many answers to all of these questions. And whatever we say, there's so much more that we're not saying. And in no way is this like a complete, you know, overview of the entire, of all these questions. It's just giving us a mahalach, one approach to be able to answer these questions. Rav Wolkin begins in The World Within. And he speaks about that Rosh Hashanah, its mitzvah of shofar, is different than the other festivals and their mitzvahs. On the other festivals, the fulfillment of the mitzvah is not critical to shaping the essence and the basis of the day. It is required to eat matzah on Pesach, but the eating of matzah does not cause the essence of the day. On Rosh Hashanah, the fulfillment of blowing of the shofar changes it into a Yom Teruah. It's about the very nature of the day. The very nature of the day is the sounding of the shofar. It is not just a mitzvah of the day, it makes the day. The whole day of Rosh Hashanah is a day of Tkiyah Shofar. And why? Because the primary goal in five of Rosh Hashanah is to arouse our hearts and to perform repentance. And this arousal is stimulated by the sounding of the shofar. Rosh Hashanah is accordingly called Yom Teruah, for it's a sounding of the shofar that creates the unique nature of this day. Unlike the other festivals whose respective mitzvahs do not create the essence of the day, this is what Rosh Hashanah is about. Rosh Hashanah is about the shofar. It's called Yom Teruah. And we know the point of the shofar is to arouse us, is to realize that there's a melech, malchei amlochim, as Aginas Egos points out, there is a king who is faithful in the future to reward and faithful to punish. There's a judgment and a judge who looks and sees and supervises all our deeds, both good and bad, and will mete out punishment and reward. So clearly, if we were to ask, what is the whole idea of Rosh Hashanah? What is the whole idea of Tkiyah Shofar? On the most basic level, it's the understanding that God is the judge, that there is a sense of reward and punishment, and we better wake ourselves up and to do tshuva. As the Rambam says, we mentioned before, the whole idea of tshuva is wake up sleepers from your sleep. And we know that it's dependent upon each and every one of us to do this. Nobody can do this mitzvah for us. But again, when I see that this is the major motif of the day, to arouse ourselves to do tshuva, I once again ask myself, then what is the nature of tshuva on Rosh Hashanah? So I'd like to look at this on basically two levels that within the levels have levels, which is par for the course here. First and foremost, we have to understand, what is this sleeping all about, right? Ur Yisheni Mishnatchem, very famous quoted Rambam, wake up you slumberers from your sleep. So as far as I know right now, I'm pretty awake, right? When I'm by Tkiyah Shofar, I'm not in bed sleeping, I'm awake. Obviously, what type of sleeping is he talking about? So the general answer that's given is that, you know, we get so caught up in this world that we forget what we're doing here, which is correct. But it goes even deeper than that. Rav Schwab on prayer has a fantastic insight into the last one of the Birkos HaShachar we say in the morning. Right, we start off with Anotein Lasech V'Bina Lafchim Ben Yom Ven Laila, the ability to discern between day and night, and that we're able to open our eyes, and that we're able to stand on the ground, we're able to stand up straight. And then we move into more religious brachas of Ovir Yisrael B'Gvura, Ota Yisrael B'Tifara. And the last bracha almost seems not to belong there. And that is Hamavir Sheinai Me'enai Utunam Hafapai, that Hashem takes away sleep from my eyes and slumber from my eyelids. And then that bracha continues, right? So brachas Hasamach L'Chaverta of Hagomel L'Chasodim Tovim Lamo Yisrael, that God does kindness for the Jewish people. So ask Rav Schwab, well, shouldn't be God removing sleep from our eyes be one of the first things, like before I even open my eyes, God removes sleep from my eyes? And what does it have to do with the end of the bracha that God does kindness for the Jewish people? And he notes here something very, very powerful, and it's very appropriate for Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah, which according to, and we'll speak about this, it's the machloket in the Gemara, whether Adam was actually created on Rosh Hashanah, or Allah b'machshava, God envisioned Adam to be created in Rosh Hashanah. But if you hold that Adam was actually created in Rosh Hashanah, someone else was created in Rosh Hashanah too, and that was his wife. And in order for Chava to be created, the Pasuk tells us, or 7, Hashem made a deep sleep fall upon Adam, and he slept. Vayapel Hashem Elokim tardema al ha'adam. Tardema is not just sleeping. It's like, you know, one of those really deep sleeps. However, it is noteworthy that after his deep sleep, we do not find that Adam ever awoke. While he was in the original state of creation, before being divided into man and woman, the stool Adam, Harisha, was able to perceive the Shekhinah, was cognizant of the entire world is filled with his glory. Once the anesthesia of the Tardema, deep sleep, fell upon him, Adam and his counterpart Chava did not regain the state of super awareness of the presence of Hashem. They and all of humanity which follow remain in the same limited state of awareness which we live today. Historically, the Jewish people did receive flashes, like at Mitzrayim, Kriyas Yamsuf, Mamet Har Sinai. And that is where we thank Hashem for giving us opportunities, flashes, of being able to have the cognizance of Hashem's presence. What is this deep sleep that we have to bring ourselves out of? It's a sleep that Adam HaRishon has been in, and mankind has been in now for thousands of years. It's a sleep wherein we are not aware, with the super consciousness that we need to be aware. The consciousness that Adam HaRishon was originally created, and before he was put to sleep, he had this real awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Al Kol Tzad V'Sha'al. Whatever he ate, whatever he did, whatever he saw, you saw godliness in front of you. Now, I take a look at a pen, and I see a pen. I don't say, wow, this is an instrument in order to be able to write Torah or underline for Shiurim in order to be able to teach Torah. My brain doesn't function that way. It functions as, this is a pen. We see things in a black and white, one-dimensional lack of spiritual three-dimensional aspects of life. That aspect is where we need to wake up on Rosh Hashanah. The day of Rosh Hashanah can be really characterized as the day of being able to have the God consciousness, or reliving that God consciousness that Adam HaRishon was born with on that original day, that all of us can come back to that acute state of awareness. That is the goal of Rosh Hashanah, and that is the goal of Tkiyas Shofar. With this in mind, we can look at how we can actualize this goal on two levels. The first level, both starting with Talei Chaim, the Chalvan, Hayisod HaRishon V'Abtzisi Biyoter, B'Tkiyas Shofar Sursei, Hu She'anu Ba'im L'Kayem Mitzvat Hashem. You know, the Gemara asks, why do we blow shofar? And the answer is, Rachmana, Hashem commanded, blow! What should we be thinking about when the Baal Tokea is blowing the shofar, like, you know, Sadia has all these reasons. What should be our first and foremost thought? Hashem commanded me to blow, and I am now doing a mitzvah that Hashem commanded me to do. B'pashtus, b'tmimus, u'ba'anava. With simplicity, with wholeness, b'li chachma rabot. Pashut lavo kavadim uvanim namanim, to come like servants to Hashem, hasasim usmechim l'kayim mitzvah aviyah malkam. I'm so happy to be able to do your will, Hashem. That is where it's at. It's not about saying, well, the reason for Tkiyas Shofar is, and that leads me to, which is going to be the whole Shir, Mirz Hashem, that we'll speak about today. But first and foremost, it's that tmimus to live with Hashem. And this, my friends, is so crucial. Because if we don't have this basic level of I'm doing mitzvot because Hashem commanded me, which is like the basic awareness that we all need to have, then it's very much my religion and not Hashem's religion. You know, in Bali, if I feel like it and if I understand it, then wow, I'm going to invest in it. And if it doesn't speak to me and I don't understand it, so I won't do it. And that's a big danger that we have in Yiddishkeit, because then it's not about following Hashem on His terms, it's following Hashem on what is convenient for me. Ki anu osim al smach da'ato v'lo al smach da'atenu anu. Our job is to do it because Hashem commanded on His da'at, not on our da'at. And this, my friends, is really a soul number one of what Rosh Hashanah is about. I am a servant of the King, and I am ready to comply with His demands on His terms. And it's not what is good for me. And now I understand, Im Kain in Source 9, HaYisod HaRishon L'Tkiyas Shofar, K'mo L'Chol Avodat Hashem, Hiya Tmimus Im Hashem. And this is reminiscent of a Klal Yisrael said, and hence the psukim connected with shofaros at Mamon Har Sinai when they said Naaseh V'Nishma. Klal Yisrael reached that level of being able to follow Hashem. Nasa, whatever you say, Hashem, I'm ready to do. Then Nishma, then I'll understand, then I'll go deeper. But first and foremost, if this is what you are commanding me, I am ready to do it. Mitoch Nemanut L'Hashem. Saitanut Pshutavi Patlot. This is the ability to be mevatel myself, to give myself over to Hashem. It reminds me, a few months ago I was at a kiddush, and a woman met me, this happens very often, and was telling me, you know, I've had a very hard couple of months with a lot of different things going on in my life, and I just am not in the mood to daven. Davening just isn't in the cards, so to speak. What should I do? So I said to her, even if you're not in the mood to daven, just daven. Again, now, depending on where she's at in life, how much she has to daven is a separate story. I said, just daven. And we can talk about it. You're invited to come over and talk about, you know, what is going on that's preventing you from daven. But before you go psychoanalyze, well, because of this, and I'm mad about this, and I've struggled with this, and God did this to me. First and foremost, daven, because he commanded you to daven. And it's interesting now, a few months later, she came to me today to talk about, which I think is a great idea for all of us to do. Baruch Hashem, been a busy week with this. People just want to, you know, like they go to a doctor for a checkup. You go to other people just to align yourself. Are you on the spiritual path? And that's one of the things she said to me, this woman. She says, I want you to know I took your advice. I started davening the next day. And I can't say it's been every day with Kavanah or it's easy, but at least I'm doing it. That is the hibatlut. Whether it makes sense to me or not, whether it's comfortable for me or not, whether I'm in the mood or not, it's not what Judaism is about. There is a sense, and this is Rosh Hashanah, and this is a major theme of Rosh Hashanah that goes hand in hand with Tkiyas Shofar, is that Shofar is about being Mamlech Hashem Kemelech, it's a coronating God as king. Coronation of God as king in our mind shouldn't be, you know, that long live the king. That's like so simplistic. What does it mean, long live the king? What does it mean that I make God king over me? It means that if God is king over me, I have to listen to him. And that is the Havana Pshuta of what should you think about during time of Tkiyas Shofar. I am a servant of Hashem, and I'm ready to do his will on his terms. And this is indeed what Rabbi Lugassi speaks about in his Sefer, Mishpat Lelukei Yaakov. Mahut Rosh Hashanah is Malchios. Havodah v'yom zehi kama shiyoter l'chadeh et hargashat ha'avdut shlanu machuto yifarach. The Rosh Hashanah is about how much we can really be able to access that God is king over us. And that gives us the strength of the entire year, that God is our king, that we are totally dependent on him for all of our physical and spiritual needs. We cannot do anything without him. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who tailor makes our entire lives for what is best for our benefit. And therefore, the upshot of this, Sichot Hizkazkut in source number 12, V'lachein Ritzon Hashem Yibarach Shekol Echad Yishtadel Lashrish V'Nafsho, that the Ikur of Rosh Hashanah Eino Talui Bargashat Halev Klal. Veino Talui B'Tarurut Halev Klal. Rosh Hashanah isn't about, well, you know, I hope there's a good chazan who's going to inspire me, because, you know, if he doesn't have a good voice and the tunes aren't the ones I'm used to, then, well, what do you expect of me? How do you expect me to be inspired? Rosh Hashanah, it's not, obviously, it's nice to be inspired. Obviously, it's nice to feel whatever you feel. It's great. But even if I feel nothing, even if it's a, you know, dry davening and I don't feel inspired and I don't come away with, wow, that was so unbelievable davening, it's irrelevant. I mean, obviously it's relevant, but it's irrelevant in terms of that this is a situation Hashem put you in. He put you in a situation where it was difficult to focus where you were sitting. He put you in a situation where the chazan wasn't up to par. He put you into a situation where the rough speech didn't inspire you. Whatever it is, that's the situation you're in. You can't then make an excuse, well, what do you want from me? I wasn't inspired. No. Listening to Hashem is not based on your feelings of inspiration and your feelings of how you feel. Listening to Hashem is about doing what Hashem wants you to do in every situation, whether you're in the mood or not. This is what is expected of me. That's Malchios. And that's the first idea that we need to focus in on during Tkiyas Shofar and really the entire Yontif. In any situation I'm in, I have to ask myself, what does Hashem want from me right now? Like a good servant who asks himself, what would my master want me to do right now? What would my master want me to say right now? How would my master want me to behave right now? Those are the thoughts that need to go through our head during Tkiyas Shofar, as well throughout the whole day. That's level one, very basic, very simple. How if I reach that level? Granted. Okay. Let's move a little bit deeper here, my friends. Rabbi Roberts in Timeless Season notes the following. On the verse, Ashrei Am Yodei Trua, which is said immediately after the shofar is blown, our sages explain these words as meaning, fortunate are the Jews who know how to win over the Creator with the notes of the shofar. Even if Hashem has already sat down at a seat of strict justice, on hearing these sounds, he will adopt the mood of compassion and will move to the seat of mercy. Hashem becomes shofar. The obvious question is, what is the secret of the shofar? Why should the simple, unsophisticated action blowing a ram's horn have such a far-reaching effect and awaken divine clemency toward us in this phenomenal manner? Our sages say, All animal horns are valid for use on Rosh Hashanah, except those of a cow or a calf. Gemara Rosh Hashanah Kavav Amud Aleph. The reason given for this exclusion is that when we blow the shofar, it's akin to entering the Kodesh Kodashim, the Holy of Holies. And since the calf was worshipped by the Jewish people in the form of a golden calf, it's improper to go into this holy sanctuary with a horn which recalls that disgraceful episode of idolatry. Similar to the Kohen Gadol not wearing the golden clothes when he enters into the Holy of Holies on Yom Kippur, because again, the gold reminds of the golden calf. Why, however, is Kiyas Shofar equated with entering the Holy of Holies? I can understand the Kohen Gadol entering into the Holy of Holies to get expiation for the people. You don't want to remember any sin. But what is the significance of the shofar being equated with the Holy of Holies? And there's a lot of Torah on this, and we've spoken a little bit about this in the past. The Talei Chaim has, and obviously much more developed, we're just highlighting here, a very, very profound insight, which I think opens ourselves up. The imagery here I found to be very, very poignant of a image to have, right? The Balei Mussar speak about, Rousseau Salanter and others, that just that piece that we read should be the imagery of during Tekiyas Shofar. If we're talking about what we should think about, we should imagine we're like the Kohen Gadol entering to the Holy of Holies, that this is a time of seclusion between us and Hashem. This is a time of closeness between us and Hashem. Right? By the Holy of Holies, no other person was there except the Kohen Gadol. So too, we are in this private sphere with God, which is, again, an important aspect to know. But if we take this a little bit deeper, the Chavad notes in Source 14, Ro'im anu, Shashafar nechshav lebechina knisa kohen gadol lekodesh hakadoshim mamish. And now we understand that it has this tremendous potential. What is this? So he says, the Gemara explains that the reason that the shofar is like entering to Kodesh Kodashim is because the shofar comes to bring our remembrances to Hashem. Right? The idea, Imru lefonai malchios, say before me the psukim malchios, that we should be able to coronate God. Imru lefonai zichronos, b'chdei shetales yichronchem lefonai letova. Ubameh b'shofar, the shofar enables the zichronos, the remembrances, to be brought before Hashem. And the remembrances is as if being brought directly to Hashem, entering in to that private sphere. Mikan l'medinan umahu sodas zikaron. Sodas zikaron is as if entering into the Kodesh Kodashim. Remembrance is like entering into that Holy of Holies. What is this idea about? So he says, if you think about it, at the end of the Zichronos, the passage we mentioned in Source 2, we almost seem to have something that contradicts each other. We say that Hashem should remember the Akedah Yitzchak, and right, God should remember the binding of Isaac, and then we say, because there is no forgetfulness in front of God. So if there's no forgetfulness in front of God, then why do we ask God to remember? Of course he's going to remember. What's the idea of remembering? What's the idea of forgetting? And obviously these ideas are very, very deep. And we'll just try to distill them down for my limited understanding. And that is, Hashem interacts with this world, and we interact with this world, on the level pnimius and chitzonius, in the inner world and the outer world. And we all have an inner world, and we all have an outer world. And the world has an inner world and an outer world. In the pristine inner world, all of our neshamos are taken from the kisei hakavod, from under the throne of glory, which is the Bechina, which is an aspect of the Kodesh Kodashim, the Holy of Holies. It's a place of the Or HaKavod. And in this place we say, Ki Ein Shicha Lifnei Kisei Kvodecha. You're right. In the place of the Kisei HaKavod, at that point, that pristine point of the Holy of Holies, of that point of our Neshama is so connected to God, there is no Shichacha. Shichacha, forgetfulness, similar letters to Choshech, darkness. Shichacha exists when you're in this outer world and you stumble. When you're in this outer world and you have klipos and you have blockages between you and Hashem. In that world of the Kisei HaKavod, Ki Ein Shichacha Lifnei Kisei Kvodecha, there is no forgetfulness because we're living in a place of pure connection to Hashem. The outer world, the world we live in, the world of follies, the world of challenges, the world, if you would say, of tardema, of this deep sleep that we're in, that's the world where we make mistakes. And in that world, we ask Hashem, We want you to remember. And what are we asking to remember? We want you to take that awareness of the Kisei HaKavod and connect it to who we are down here. And remember that at our core, at our root, is goodness. And be able to take from that remembrance and allow it to be transposed onto the things that we do here. And this is what we're asking for. That the Malaskiya Shofar, Sheikar 17, Skula Sosikaro. And what we're asking, Shinei Mikorach HaShofar, Anu Nichlasim Mamash Aleichel Kodesh HaKadoshim HaElyon. When we blow the shofar, we're entering into that inner bowl's part. V'nimsa shashofar machnisa nishamay Yisrael chazorei lechal ha'yom shal korish kadoshim ha'yom. V'atikia hi bechinat hamshacha chutza lamshich et ha'korish mipnimut l'chitzonia. When we blow the shofar, what does it mean that we're entering into the korish kadoshim? It means that we're entering into the korish kadoshim of ourselves. That we're entering into that place where our souls were created, that Kisei HaKavod, and we're being able to go back to that point of pristine holiness, pureness with which we're created. And as he continues in 18, really the only thing, only part of our body that is used in Tkiyas Shofar is our breath, which is like the most, you know, neshamatic part of us. Because it's that part of us that is bringing us back to that place of creation, that place of formation, the place that we started with. And that, my friends, is really what Tkiyas Shofar is about on the second level, where each and every one of us, when we're imagining ourselves going back to the into the Kodesh Kodashim, we're imagining ourselves in the purest sense of who we are. Moshe Shapiro has a beautiful essay where he speaks about that Adam was created in two forms. One was Hashem breathed into a breath of life, and then he became a Ruach Mamala. He became a person who spoke. The people who speak can be a world of sheker, can be a world of lies. We know that, you know, once you start speaking, it's hard to always stay, you know, faithful to the truth. But in that pure place, in that place of entirely beinu la'avdecha ba'emes, to purify our heart, to serve you with truth, when Hashem breathed life into us, which is what the shofar is reminding us about, and that's the imagery of the shofar, is that we breathe life and we feel like Hashem is breathing life into us, as we'll talk about in a moment in Eretz Hashem. At that moment, we come back to that moment of truth, of real emes, that Hashem created us for a purpose. This is before the sleep takes over. It's before we open our mouths. That point of departure is pure. And that is the request that we have, is Hashem, take that pure, and the imagery he gives is light, that energy, and allow it to be able to be surrounding me. Allow it to be able to permeate my chitzonius, the external part of me, that it can impact me as well. And this is Pshat, the Sichot Yizkaskut, notes in 19, in the Pasuk we say, right after Tkiyas Shofar, what we just mentioned, of we say, Hashem, Ashrei Am Yodei Atrua, Hashem, Ve'or Panecha Ya'alechur. Praise is a nation who knows the power of Trua. Hashem be'or panecha ya'alechu, Hashem, allow us to be able to, that you and we, take that light, take that energy, take that moment of truth, and allow that light to be be'or panecha ya'alechu, that we can continue walking in this way. This is who we want to be. We want to allow that perfected part of us to influence everything of us. And as the Sichot Yizkaskut continues, when we go in Lifnai v'Lifnim, it's not only that we're entering into the purest part of ourselves, we're entering into the purest part of what the world is about, the Kedusha of the world. It's as if we're being transposed to that experience of Mamad Har Sinai, where the heavens were opened up and you saw Hashem Hu Elokim, V'nifku'u elyonim, v'nifku'u tachtonim, v'ra'u shu yichidi. The heavens and earth were open, and you saw with clarity, atarei t'atar, ke'ashemu elokim, ein od melvado. That clarity is the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And this, we're again asking Hashem to take that clarity that we are having at this moment. The moment of Tkiyas Shofar is a moment of coming to the real essence of truth. We understand that we are born as neshamos that are chelik elokam imal, neshamos shenatata b'tahorahi. It is the purest of pure. Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is clearly visible in this world. We experienced it. We saw it. Hashem b'or panecha yalechu. Help us, Hashem, to take the Tkiyas Shofar and allow it not to remain at this moment, but allow it to permeate my whole life. What is it about the Shofar that enables a person to do this? So Rav Pinkus talks about the tool for bursting through and opening up hidden things is the Shofar. For example, the Torah was hidden, a treasure that was kept for thousands of years, and it was through the Shofar blowing that Hashem revealed the Torah. We have the same thing by the Geula Sita is hidden, the future of redemption. The blowing of the Shofar will bring in that redemption. The Shofar will burst open the hidden treasure house 22, and the moment of Geula will come to the world. The very shape of the Shofar loses its ability to break through barriers. The Shofar starts with a narrow mouth opening and gradually broadens out until it becomes wide. This signifies that matters that are closed and constricted will open up and go out to the expanses. This is one of the psukim we say. Min ha-meitzar karatika, from the straits I called out to Hashem. Anani ba-merchavka. We start off in straits and we end off in expanse. We start off entering to the Kodesh Kodashim and we find that little pintle yid in us. We find that clarity that ain't over milvato. And we say to Hashem, please, allow the Shofar to be a tool, that small opening that expands what the Shofar literally looks like. We should feel within us that we are that small point of knowledge, of understanding. Help us break it open. Help it to allow us to be the mindset that we can live our lives by. And this is why we know that Rosh Hashanah, through the Tkiyas Shofar, it bursts open things that are concealed and allowed to be open. And this is what we need to be thinking about while we are imagining. There's a lot to think about, about 100 tkiyos, a lot to think about. On Rosh Hashanah, there's another hidden matter that Shofar is meant to burst open. And the heart of Hashem is hidden away, a secret love 23 for the Jewish people. The love that a father has for his child is not readily apparent in every day, every deed he does. So Hashem conducts himself toward Jewish people. One of the 13 attributes of divine mercy is emes, the ultimate truth. The innermost will of Hashem is to bestow goodness with all the power of love and compassion. Within a world of chesed, there still exist situations where Hashem's love is hidden and his mercy is stored away. The sound of the shofar comes and breaks through the barriers and opens up kivyachol, the trait of emes and of Hashem's heart. And this is part of what Shofar is about. It's not just about opening us up, kivyachol. It's about opening, as if, Hashem's heart to feel compassion on us. Right? We may not be deserving. We may not be. But a father will always have compassion for his children. And when we feel that feeling of compassion that Hashem has for us, that too is that feeling of expanse, that we feel like Hashem moves, and that's the idea, from the Kiseh Adin to the Kiseh Arachamim, through the blowing of the Shofar, from the seat of judgment to the seat of mercy. It's because we're opening up kivyachol, that feeling, again, the smallness to the expanse of Hashem's love for us. Before going on, because I really want to focus in on more our relationship to Hashem, rather than Hashem's relationship to us, because that's more of where the Avoda is found. But I can't help but share a story in the Sefer that I've mentioned a number of times, I believe, Living Emuna, which I really recommend reading at this time of year, Rav David Asher, Living Emuna. He tells a Gevaldic story that I just want to share with you, which perhaps should come through our mind, of an understanding of what the love of a father to a child. Page 286. In 1988, a massive earthquake nearly flattened Armenia, killing more than 25,000 people in less than 4 minutes. In the midst of the chaos and devastation, a father ran to the school where his son was a student and saw that the building had collapsed. After initial shock and trauma, the father remembered that he had once promised his son that he'd always be there for him, no matter what happened. With tears in his eyes, he surveyed the rubble and tried to recall where in the building he brought his child each morning, and realized that the classroom was in the rear right corner. He rushed over to that corner and began digging through the rubble. The other parents tried to dissuade him, explained to him that there was nothing he could do, but he just turned to them and said, "Are you going to help me, or just stand there?" He continued digging, stone by stone. Soon the fire chief arrived and tried pulling away from the scene. "There are shifting beams everywhere," the chief warned. "It's too dangerous." "I'm not going anywhere," the father insisted. "Are you going to help me?" The police chief came and tried to pull the man away, but he wouldn't move. He remained there digging on his own for 8 hours, then 12, 24, and 36 hours. After 38 hours, he pulled back a large boulder and heard his son's voice. He yelled his son's name and heard, "Dad, it's me. I knew you were coming. I told all the other kids not to worry. My father promised that he would always be there for me." It turned out, he adds, Rav Asher, that when the building collapsed, it made a wedge-like triangle and 14 people were saved, including the son. Kerachim av albanim. Hashem loves us like a father, but even this demonstration of love did not even come close to Hashem's love for us. We are Hashem's pride and joy. We must always remember that whatever is happening in our lives is being done by someone who loves us more than we can possibly imagine, and he's only doing the very best thing for us. Tkiyas Shofar reminds us of this love and reminds us again that we are the servants of Hashem on Hashem's terms. We may not understand it, but our job is to connect with Hashem, which brings us to the end of 23. At the other end, the shofar bursts open the hearts of Jews, and every Jew, even if he's far from Torah mitzvot, is hidden the innermost will to keep Torah and mitzvot. In order to bring the innermost will of Klal Yisrael to outward expression, to uncover the "it is our will to do your will," the shofar comes and brings it out into the open. The nature of the sound emanating from the shofar are such that they both break through to Hashem's heart, to his compassion for Jewish people, and they also break through to the Jewish people's will to return in complete repentance to Hashem. The idea of the shofar, it's really, you know, a continuation of the first idea, is that when we blow the shofar, we're entering into the Kodesh HaKodeshim of our hearts, where we know with clarity Hashem exists. We know with clarity that we are created with a purity of spirit. And what we're begging Hashem for is, allow me to have this initial feeling, be able to overcome me, that this light should envelop me. And I think the imagery of a light, the very powerful imagery, almost feeling like you're basking in this light of connection, in this light of purity, and say, all I want to do, Hashem, is to be the best I can be in serving you. I want to be the best I can be. I know with clarity you exist. I want to break open and connect with you. And that's why the Sichot Yitzchaskut, Rashi Meir Silverberg in 24, points out that aside from the Kavanah that we spoke about of doing this mitzvah because Hashem commanded, this is the time of Eshar Ka'et Lachnis B'chol Tkiyah Harbei Machshavos Tovos HaKadoshos, to have real thoughts of connection to Hashem in every Tkiyah. Hashem, I want to come to love you. Hashem, I want to come to have awe of you. Hashem, I want to be able to learn Torah. Hashem, I want to be able to always thank you. I want to live a life of Kedusha. I want to be able to make you king over every moment. I want to be able to accept everything that you give me with a simcha. I want to listen to your voice. Every Tkiyah, to really beg Hashem that you can connect with him in what the different areas in your life that you want to connect with him. Every Kia Shofar is a way of taking that deep feeling within us. I really want to love you, Hashem. It's just so hard. And allowing that feeling to go with the shofar into a place of expanse. And allow that to be a reality. Every one of the blowing of the shofar is a time for me to be thinking about, Hashem, please help me. Take that light, take that energy in this area and that area, different areas of my avodas Hashem, and allow it to become a reality in my life. This is who I want to be. This is how I want to live. And that's why it's interesting the Imur Lufanei Malchios for Maizlish on the Pesuk that we say in one of the Pesukim in the 10 Pesukim of Shofros, and it said right before the blowing of the Shofar, Allah Lukim Betrua, Hashem goes up in the sound of the Trua, Hashem Bekol Shofar, Hashem in the sound of the Shofar. So he brings down Hashem Bekol Shofar, Shekiv Yachol Hashem Yibarach Ba'atzmo, Shorabitokol Shofar, Ruatokea Kiv Yachol Ad Kanverma Kadoshim. Brings down the idea, it's word in the Sfarim HaKadoshim, that it's as if Hashem Bekol Shofar, that he's blowing the Shofar himself. And that's why Hashem Shmuel knows on this, that if Hashem is the Baal Tokea, then we are able to repent from any sin. We should almost imagine that that just like Sefer Dvorim, Moshe spoke, it's Hashem speaking through Moshe Rabbeinu, we should feel Hashem is blowing the shofar through this Baal Tokea. And it's Hashem who's calling us with love and saying, come back, reconnect, find that point of purity, enter into that Kodesh Kodashim, enter into this relationship with me. This almost, you know, it's an avoda, you know, the Tekiah Shofar is not just, you know, trying to keep our kids quiet, which is a little bit of a challenge, how do you do that and have all these kavanos? And again, it's not easy, preparation really helps, which means that you prepare your kids that this is a moment, you know, like Mamet Har Sinai, where Hashem is coming so close to us, and it's a moment really be really quiet and just listen to the shofar. And for little kids who don't understand that, you know, give them, you know, whether it's food or whether it's books, and this is just special for Tekiah Shofar, you know, and then the kid's going to do whatever he's going to do, and you are going to accept it with love, because this is part of your test that Hashem is giving you, and everything that happens is with love, so you're not going to be frustrated, right? So when a kid acts up, and you're trying to have kavanas and Tekiah Shofar, for you to get upset is you are undoing the kavanah. Tekiah Shofar. Tekiah Shofar is about accepting God as king. If God has made my little Yankee start to cry in the middle of Tekiah Shofar, that is what Hashem knows is best for me to work on my mitzvos, not to get upset at Yankee. So not getting upset at Yankee is listening to the Kia Shofar. Yeah, okay. Having said this, this, it's almost like a psychological transformation that's going on within us, to be able to find that core part of us, to really be able to access this. And that's why you need a Chodesh Elul before Tekiah Shofar. You just can't come into Tekiah Shofar to be able to really prepare ourselves appropriately. There's a sefer that I was just given this year, and with Hashkacha, I had decided, you know, what should I speak about? Mirz Hashem, which is Siyata Deshvaya going to come for this year, Rosh Hashanah Shir, and I decided to speak about Tekiah Shofar. I began preparing it, and then 2 or 3 hours later, my daughter, who was a counselor in camp, came home with a sefer that one of the fathers in her 2-year-old group had written on Shofar. So I felt like that was a stamp from Shemayim. This is what you should speak about. This particular father has been battling cancer, Baruch Hashem, a lot of children, 2-year-old is the youngest, very sweet little girl, for the last half a year. So I felt that it would be appropriate that the schus of learning should be a schus refuah shleima for Yonatan Shimon ben Chaya, very sweet, short sefer, Rav Yonatan Emet on Shofar. And he brings here from Rav Aaron Soloveitchik the idea of not only the sounds of the shofar, but the way the sounds are broken up, tkiah, shvarim, tkiah, enable us, help us to go through this metamorphosis. And he notes, the center of the formation, the trua, represents the present, the state one is naturally in when contemplating, when standing, judging for Hashem. We all have what to correct and improve on in the realm of between man and God, man and fellow man, in the close-knit family circle, in the wider social sphere. Recognizing our present condition, we feel a certain degree of uncertainty and stability associated with the wavering wail of the Teruah. So as I'm standing by Tekiah Shofar and I'm thinking about I'm going to enter into the Holy of Holies, look at me now, I'm a mess! Look at what I just did the last, you know, whatever amount of time, and this is who I am, and I'm going to walk into the Holy of Holies? I mean, like, you got to be kidding! The Torah ever does not wish us to succumb to this disheartening feeling and fall victim to despair. Through the additional sounds of the shofar, the preceding and following Tekiah note, and make sure to remind us that the present, and with it our present state of being, inadequate as it may be, exists only as an immeasurable fraction in the vast scale of time, nestled between a sheet of pure past and blanket of equally pure potential future. Pshuta lefaneha, upshuta lachareha. There's simplicity before the entanglement, stability, and wholeness after the fragility and fracture. And that's the first tikkia, which symbolizes the past which preceded the present state of Terua. Each and every one of us has an untainted and unblemished starting point. The soul you place within me is pure. Hashem created man straight. This is what we need to understand, that we have an intrinsic connection with Hashem. So you say to yourself, well, come on, I can't reach this level. Tikkia. Tikkia is about we're all coming from the same point of purity. We all start with goodness. It's all part of our DNA. It's all part of who we are. You are able to connect with that. And then you're right. There is a Terua. There is that sound that says, yes, look at what brokenness I'm in. He says, one of the central motifs of the shofar is the ram's horn. And there's a great chazal that say, all year round the people of Israel hold on to Aveiro. And are entangled in troubles, but in Rosh Hashanah they take a shofar and blow into it and are remembered before Hashem and He forgives them. This is on the idea that the ayil, the ram, was in the echaz b'tzvach b'karnav, was entangled in the bushes. That's us! The ram's horn that we blow in place of Yitzhak Avinu to remind us of the Akedah reminds us of that entanglement that we're in. Who of us did not find himself occasionally caught up in a favorite and entangled in troubles? Not necessarily in the sense of one specific mitzvah or another, but in the broader sense of self-entanglement in the comforting ropes of routine, the mindless travel down the path of habit and convenience. We're fearful to change. It's a bumpy ride. It's hard. And that is Rosh Hashanah. Untangle yourself from your troubles. Today, change, but your mindset, so tomorrow you can change your life. When I get to the Terua, I look at myself and I say, I'm a mess. Yes, you're entangled, but you have the ability to change your mindset, which hopefully we'll get to in time, to be able to change your mindset, to detangle yourself, to be able then to have the third tikkia, which is that of the joy, the confidence, the ability that I can be different. And that's what we go through every time we blow the tikkia, shvarin, trua, tikkia, tikkia, trua, tikkia. All of this, tikkia, shvarin, tikkia. It's all with the tikkia before, have that vision of who you are. The tikkia after, have that vision of who you can be. And that's where the gedola is, he knows, because this is the sound we need to walk away with, the vision of who we can be. And we all need to have a vision of who we can be and what we can achieve in our lives. And then we have where we are right now, entangled. That imagery is such a powerful imagery. The horn itself, the shofar itself is entangled. We almost can connect with that shofar. It's me. It's my life. I'm entangled. But I can break out of that entanglement. How do we break out of this entanglement? How are we able to focus in on the past and the future and be able to have a positive judgment? And again, what is this judgment of Rosh Hashanah? So I'd like to share a number of ideas that are very up there in the air, but I think the practical upshot is going to be very, very concrete. Rav Emanuel Bernstein, who we've used Sefer on Dover Mikra, says the following. He says, the Meshech Chachma notes that where do we get this idea of really wanting to do Ritzon Hashem, which is the way Rabbi Roberts points out in 31 and 32, of true eyes for the word reyos. There is this aspect of friendship. Yes, I am a mess. Utruas melech bo. V'lora amal b'Yisrael. Hashem loves us because utruas melech bo. Inside, each and every one of us is an attachment to Hashem. No matter where we've gone astray, we are reyos. We are connected to Hashem bo within us. Where do we have this connection from? Where is this tikkia beforehand of our connection to Hashem, unbroken connection? Meshech Chochma notes, it comes from Akedah Yitzchak. The moment that Yitzchak Avinu was ready to be sacrificed, that he was ready to follow Hashem unconditionally, which gets back to our first idea that unconditional acceptance of Hashem is a major motif, and Avraham Avinu's unconditional acceptance of Hashem's command, that has placed in our genetic DNA our desire, our inner desire to only do Hashem's will. Yitzchak Avinu, says the Meshech Chochma, his Mesiris Nefesh, of the time of the Akedah, ready to give his life in order to do Hashem's will, that set into motion that every Jew is hutba banu, haratzon haprimi lasor ritzoncha, to do Hashem's will. And that is why we remember the Akedah as a major motif, because we're remembering where it came from. When I read these psukim about the Akedah and the second day Kriyas HaTorah, I'm able to relate to it. I say, this is the source of that first Tzkiyah. This is the source of Truat Melech Bo. This is the source of my connection of going into Lifnai B'Lifnim and being able to have that part that can never be taken away from me of Ritzoneinu Lasos Ritzoncha. All I want to do is do your will, Hashem. That comes automatically in every Jew from Yitzhak Avinu. This ability to tap in to readiness to go, give ourselves over completely to Hashem and do His will was actualized by the entire nation in its entirety by Mamet Har Sinai. And again, hence, that's why this is a major theme of Rosh Hashanah. Because when I mention the idea of Akedah Yitzhak, and I mention the idea of Har Sinai, Mount Sinai, and giving the Torah, it's not just I'm mentioning places where we're connected to, you know, the shofar. It's deeper than that. I'm mentioning places where we have in the past shown that we can be successful. That Yitzhak Avinu has placed this in me, and that we've had, all of us were in Har Sinai, we've had in the past been able to live up to that reality, where that light, that energy, the kolos subrakim, were able to surround me, and all I wanted to do was Ritzoneinu Liros HaMalkeinu. I wanted to see God, I wanted to hear God. And that's why it's not by accident that the Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer said that the shofar of Matan Torah came from the Isle of Yitzchak. On a deeper level, it's not just technical, a deeper level, where did Klai Yisrael have the ability to live up to this expectation of God and be able to say Nasa v'nishma? It came from Akedah Yitzchak. And we too also have this ability to live up to this in our own lives to the best of our ability. And if we don't have a tekiah afterwards, if I don't have a vision of who I can be, then I'm very limited. I need to be able to see where I've come from, that pure part, the Kodesh Kedoshim, the Akedah, the Har Sinai. I'm able to see in the future the ability that I will come back when Mashiach comes to that pristine state. But I can have my own geula and my own life. I can see where I can be more, better in. I can be kinder. I can be accepting of God's judgments. I can be in whatever area we're struggling with. I can break out of the trua, the shvarim, the small broken sounds, the larger broken sound, and I can hit a tekiah again. Now, my friends, we're coming to our last final part here. What is the Yom HaDin? What is the judgment of Rosh Hashanah? How do we see this whole picture come to the fore? And here's the key idea. We mentioned at the beginning, what was it that happened in Rosh Hashanah that we're recalling it every year? So it's machloket in the Gemara, whether the world was actually created in Elul or was the world created in Nisan. There's one opinion that says that Allah b'machshava, Hashem thought about creating the world in this time of year, but He actually created it in Nisan. If you hold like that opinion, then what is Rosh Hashanah celebrating? The answer is nothing. Right? Because nothing happened. That's not true. Says Rav Pinkus in 35, something did happen. Allah b'machshava, the thought, the mindset of Hashem, and the mindset of Hashem is a reality, is what happened at this time of the year. Hashem envisioned what man was going to look like. And we know, Allah b'machshava livro, when originally Hashem wanted to create the world, He wanted to create it b'midas hadin, with strict justice. And then when He actually created the world, He added rachamim, He added mercy. And this, the Shari Derech, Rav Freiman speaks about very, very beautifully in 37 through 39, that what we come back to on Rosh Hashanah is that state of Allah b'machshava. We go back to the state of thought. And what Rosh Hashanah is about is that just like Hashem envisioned the world before He created it, before we do any action, we also have a vision. We also have thoughts. And unlike modern psychology and modern philosophy, that man is not responsible for their thoughts and they're only responsible for the action, Yiddishkeit says exact opposite. In reality, I cannot, obviously I have responsibility of my action, but I'm really not in control of my action. Which means, that I may want to do many things, but, you know, things get in the way. You know, how many times do people have said to me today, you know, Shira, I wanted to come to your Shira on Shabbos, but my kids needed me at that moment. My husband went out at that moment, and I had to stay home and do it, whatever. So, Allah Makhshava, I wanted to come to a Shira, but something happened, right? The world of Maisa, we're limited. A kid needs me, and my husband needs me, whatever it is. But in the world of Makhshava, the world of thought, that is being judged with the highest level of strictness, because ein davar omeid bifnei haratzon. The only thing that we really have is desire. Nothing stands in the place of desire. And this is why the Sassemets and others speak about that ratzon is the only thing that really belongs to us. Ratzon is a tsinor, same letter, a conduit, where we can be able to bring about a lot of results. But we have to make sure that our ratzon is very strong, that our ratzon is that our desire is as pure as possible. Because once it enters into the world of action, so many things can happen. What is Rosh Hashanah about? Rosh Hashanah is the day where we are being judged for our ratzon. Just like Allah b'machshava, what entered into Hashem's mindset, on Rosh Hashanah, what we are being judged for is our mindset. Of where are we holding? And this, Rav Kluger and My Soul Desire says, when the Rambam speaks about that, you know, all of our mitzvot and our veiros are being weighed and judged, again, no actual weighing on a physical scale takes place. Source 40, rather, the weighing referred to is conceptual. Every individual attributes a certain measure of significance to different things in life. We each have a mental scale that, quote-unquote, weighs which matters are more important to us and which are less so. What is our main priority in life and what is assigned secondary status? The Avodas Yisrael quotes the Magid of Meseritz, Chutoy Egein Aleinu, who said that the inscription in the Book of Life is actually an imprinting on one's mind. The registration that takes place in Rosh Hashanah occurs in our thoughts. We ourselves determine our judgment through our perspective and attitude. Hashem, who knows what is inside one's mind and heart, is the only one who sees what is truly important to us in life, what we really seek and what we want deep down. He understands what our mindset is on this day of judgment. One who is more concerned about Kvod Shemayim than his personal interest, described the Book of Tzaddikim. One whose personal interests are more important to him than to him in life is inscribed. One whose personal interests are most important to him in life is inscribed Chas V'Shalom in the other book. And that's how he starts the new year, immersed in earthly temptation. This is what called life, it's death. One who is suspended and vacillates, which is most of us, between prioritizing Hashem's will or his own, is a Bedouin. And Hashem waits for him until Yom Kippur to repent and make his interest in Kvod Shemayim prevail over his own interests. If our main interest and purpose in life is to do Hashem's will, then even if we haven't always managed to actualize this desire, and we have even at times forgotten this interest or failed to withstand our sinful temptations, our primary motive will still outweigh our actions. Hashem takes into consideration what is most important to us, what takes on more weight in our mind, which determines our status accordingly. Every Jew is a chelek elokam imau, bound up with Hashem, and thus his deepest will is to reveal Kvod Shemayim. And that's why, as we've seen before, Rav Volbe quotes the Gemara Yerushalmi that said, "Im zach v'yashar ata, if you are pure now, then you'll be judged for life." Ah, what about what you'll be in the future? Basher Husham, where you are now, first day of Kriyat Satorah. Ah, what about in the past? On Rosh Hashanah, that's not the focus. Yes, my friends, that is a focus. That's the Seres Yimei Tshuva. And that's the Vidui of Yom Kippur. But right now, on Rosh Hashanah, we have one question. Where are you in terms of, and this is the time of Tkiyah Shofar, and Muslims is the time of judgment. Where are you in terms of the Shechina? Where are you in terms of your priorities? Where are you in terms of what is really important to you in terms of Kirvas Hashem? This is the din of Rosh Hashanah. Hadam nifchan bazeh ad kama ukli, the end of 43, lekabel tashchina. To what extent are you ready and open to receive godliness in your life? To what extent are you ready to make those changes that your only desire is to do the will of Hashem? In simple English, we don't have vidui after Tkiyah Shofar, because vidui is about making concrete changes. before we can make the concrete changes, which will be, which we had a little bit in Slichos and will be over the Aseret Tshuva culminating in Yom Kippur, we first have to ask ourselves, where am I holding? Who am I? What am I all about? The Tkiyah Shofar enables me to enter into the Holy of Holies of the mindset of my heart and to be inscribed in my mind, as the Magen Midrash says. I look at the Tkiyah of where I've come from. I've come from a Kedis Yitzchak. I've come from a Neshama being at Har Sinai. I've come from a Chelak Elokam Imael. I've come from the Kisei Akavo. I've come from a place of purity, of light. Kein Shicha Lifnei Kisei Kvodecha. There's no darkness there. It's a place of connection. And I am now living B'Svach B'Karnav. I'm living in that world of turmoil where I am broken and I am caught in the thistles and the thicket and I have so many different desires and I get angry and I forget that Hashem's running the world and I do this and I say Lashon Hara and I don't say a bracha with Kavana and I'm a mess. But I also have a vision of the future, of who I want to be. I want that Tekiyah Gedola. I want to come close to you, Hashem. I want that light to permeate my life. Hashem bor panecha yalechu. That's really what I want. I want to feel that closeness. And if during Tekiyah Shofar, our thoughts are about, Hashem, help me. I'm having problems. And during all of our davening, Hashem, I'm having problems with this mitzvah. I'm having, Hashem, problems connecting with you. Hashem, I'm asleep and I don't feel... Whatever it is, at every time of Tekiyah, I dive into Hashem. Hashem, this is who I really want to be. This is the Tekiyah Gedola. This is a vision of the type of person I want to become, and I need help, and I need Siyata Deshmaya, and I want to come back there. Then the judgment of Rosh Hashanah, the way we start off the year, is on a level of connection to Hashem, then we're being judged for the goodness. Now, obviously, as Rav Wolbe points out, you got to live it. Right? It's not enough to say it, of Allah b'machshava. The judgment has to be, well, you know, do you then not get angry or frustrated during Rosh Hashanah? You live the first 2 days, we call it the Seer's portrait picture, you know, the perfect picture. You try to live that way, to say, Hashem, I'm not just telling you lip service, I want to daven better, and I want to say brachos, and I don't want to get angry, and I want to speak Lashon Hara. For 2 days, I try to live this awareness and say, Hashem, this is my desire. This is my ratzon, and I'm trying my best. It's hard my whole life, but I'm trying my best these 2 days to show you that this is really what my ratzon is. This is really what my desire is. I really want to have that Tekiyah Gedola. I really want to be able to connect with that place of purity. And when Hashem sees that this is our ratzon, this is our desire, and Hashem sees that we have that pashtus, we have that ability to follow Him on His term, and on Rosh Hashanah, even if things aren't comfortable for us, and even if it's not the way we envisioned it, we're ready to follow Hashem and say, okay, this isn't how I plan my Rosh Hashanah, but this is the way it comes out, this is the way you want it, Hashem, I'm ready to follow you. When we're able to live that type of life of tmimus, of pashtus, then Hashem judges us for the book of life, and then have to deal with, in the trenches, okay, now I have to try to erase and eradicate all those negative behaviors, and that's the vidui of Yom Kippur, and that's the next step. But first and foremost, to have a vision, to be able to live up to that vision, and then to work on getting rid of all those things that are the obstacles to what those visions are all about. Hashanah Tova u'mevorechet.